Welcome to a discussion about Boone County's mental health crisis and community solutions. This live event from the Columbia Public Library will focus tonight on local initiatives involving criminal justice, the homeless, and the mentally ill. This event has been produced and co-sponsored by the Boone County Commission, the League of Women Voters of Columbia and Boone County, as well as the Columbia Public Library. You're listening to a live forum for Boone County's mental health crisis and community solutions on News Talk 1400 KFRU.
And good evening. Welcome to our event tonight, which is the Boone County's Mental Health Crisis and Need for Solutions. That is the title of this event. I think a lot of people probably need to know exactly what that means, and so you're going to hear what that means from a panel. Those of you in the Friends Room at the library can see this is a terrific number of people on the panel, and when you hear from them, you'll know that these are some terrific experts and people with a great love and heart and concern for our community, and they'll be defining exactly what it is and how they are involved with this particular issue or issues as we go through this evening. My name is David Lyle. I work at KFRU. It's my privilege to be able to be here and to, with the rest of the audience, learn about what the community can do, needs to do, and is doing on the issues that we'll be defining tonight. My job right now is to be brief and to go through certain of the rules of the night. We will ask those who are on the panel to share those microphones for those who are not able to see what we're talking about. We have about 14 people spread across several tables in the Friends Room in the library. We don't have 14 microphones. Don't be shy of those microphones. You can pull them out of the microphone stand there and hand them to each other or just move the stand. But everybody who is listening and everybody who is here in the library wants to be able to hear what it is you have to say. So close is good, and I think many of you have been on the radio and microphone situation before. Something else that I'll say, and this is as much for our panelists as it is for anybody else, we are going to be on a pretty tight time schedule tonight. So those of you who are speaking, Janet Thompson, who I'll introduce in a moment, she'll be standing in the back. And when you see her give the cut mark, you better start winding up or else she'll have steam coming from her ears and they'll kick us out of the library. I want to thank Sam Griffin and also Tom Holmes. I want to do that right up front because they're the engineers that are working on this, making sure that we can hear here at the Friends Room, and also that we can have this broadcast on KFRU. We will have, we hope, time towards the end of the evening, and our target or our finish time is around 8:30. So if you have questions, we hope to get to many of those at the end of the presentations. Likely we'll not get to all of the questions if we have a lot of those, but they will be posted, and later on you'll be able to know where the questions will be answered. If our panelists can stay after 8:30 for a while, then you'll have an opportunity to talk with them at that point in time also. I want to thank the library for opening up the room for us tonight. Also, the League of Women Voters, who are very good at bringing these kinds of events to the community. And also, I think that I've done all of The questions will be answered at the Show Me Boone website underneath the Judicial and Law Enforcement Task Force link. And I will remind you of that again later. I think right now what I want to do is to introduce Janet Thompson, who is the Northern District Commissioner for Boone County and very important to this event happening tonight. Janet.
Thank you so much, David. And thank you all so much for being here this evening. This is an important event for our community. 2 years ago, the National Association of Counties, or NACO, rolled out the Stepping Up initiative because counties nationwide had seen that a high percentage of the folks in their jail population were comprised of individuals with mental health issues. Those individuals were often homeless, they used emergency room services at a higher rate than the rest of the population, and when they were justice involved, they reoffended at a higher rate and stayed in jail longer than others who were charged with similar offenses. All of this meant that system resources, healthcare, law enforcement, court systems, and social services were being spent at a very high rate with respect to these individuals. And in many communities, as in Boone County, the issues crystallize into one question: should the community build a bigger jail? In May 2015, Boone County joined the Stepping Up initiative through the Judicial and Law Enforcement Task Force, which is led by Rusty Antel, one of our panelists tonight. Whether to build a bigger jail had already been proposed to solve Boone County's perennial jail overcrowding problems. Instead of jumping to that solution, the task force, which was expanded to include these panelists and more, began to study the people and systems in place here in Boone County so that we as a community could determine what solutions would be best for us and for our fellow citizens. As many other communities who are going through this process have recognized, one of the biggest challenges to resolving these complex issues was getting out of our silos and getting all the right people to the table. Well, tonight you see we have a lot of these people at the table. Guiding the task force and the stakeholders here and those others who couldn't be here tonight have been three core principles. First, we must be fiscally responsible, putting our limited resources to the best use possible. Second, we must guard public safety, recognizing that in some instances, individuals will have to remain in jail rather than being diverted to another setting. And finally, any solutions we implement must support better outcomes for these individuals and for the community at large. This evening, these panelists will focus our attention on our community's responses, past, present, and future, to the challenges presented by and to a particular segment of this population, represented by an individual we're going to call Joey, a chronically homeless person with mental health issues. We could as easily have focused on a child moving in and out of the juvenile system, a young person leaving the foster care system, or a family for which the primary provider has lost a job, sending the family into fiscal crisis. But to begin this community discussion, Joey is our focus. And each member of this panel has met and worked with a Joey and brings a particular lens to focus on these issues. We thank you for your attendance this evening and hope you will participate in what promises to be an ongoing community dialogue.
So, keeping in mind what Janet just talked about, we're going to start hearing from our panelists, and we're going to start with what she said and its impact on system resources. I am not going to introduce each person. If you picked up one of the program guides and outlines, you'll know their names. I will ask them to give any other identification that they would prefer to. But let's hear about the impacts on the system resources.
Force and working on stepping up with Janet on this in this endeavor. So, talking about the jail overcrowding problem, and I've got like 3 minutes. We could go on for an hour easily, and then I could let Keith Hoskins, our jail director, talk for another hour. It dates back to the very early 1990s when we moved out to the new jail in Prathersville, and almost immediately, that jail was filled with more beds than in the previous jail, which was downtown. So we added space a few years later, and that filled up immediately. And then the crisis really occurred in the mid to later 1990s. There were at least a couple of years where the county spent in excess of $500,000 each year on housing people in other jails because we didn't have the space in Boone County. It's a lot of money. And so the commission, the county commission, commissioned two task forces. The first was in 1997, I think. The second was in 2001. Recommendations were made. Some recommendations were followed, but there was no oversight after the first task force, and the problem quickly came back. During the period of time that the task force met, the problem abated somewhat, but it came back worse in some ways after we finished. So we've had a permanent oversight committee since about early 2002, the Law Enforcement Task Force, that is a citizen group that watches the jail population and kind of keeps an eye on things. There are a couple of real important things that we're doing. One is that there is a monthly meeting on Tuesday morning at the courthouse chaired by one of the circuit judges. It was started by Judge Hamilton in the mid-2000s, and then different judges have chaired at times. And everybody who has a stake in the jail population, jail staff, law enforcement, prosecutor, public defender, plays a part, and things really get done at this meeting, and we keep a very tight look on who is in jail. We do everything we can do to make sure that we have the correct people in jail, but it is a public safety issue at times, and we've seen a shift from a population of sentenced misdemeanors in jail, less dangerous people, to violent felons. So that's what we're doing. We keep very tight oversight on who's in jail.
Go, Steve.
Excuse me, I'm the Human Services Manager for City County Public Health and Human Services. And we are your public health department, plus we're unusually of a human services side, which is fortuitous because we've learned a lot about the social determinants of health and just what a key part of health the social aspect is. I've been doing this 21 years now and have seen, been doing it long enough to see some major, major changes. One of the themes you're going to hear tonight is about homelessness, in particular chronic homelessness. And many of those folks, for people who have been around for a little while, remember when we deinstitutionalized folks. And if you see some of those folks that we're working with out in the streets, many of those people at you know, 30, 40 years ago and earlier would have been institutionalized at a place like Midmo or Fulton. Some really good reasons to deinstitutionalize, but what happened, at least in Missouri, was that we did not provide the level of community health care then that was intended to make up the difference. We are resource rich in Columbia and Boone County, and yet there is still simply not enough. We do have several wonderful providers. I see colleagues here from Phoenix Programs. We have our federally qualified health center. And of course, we have our own public health department. We actually still deliver some health care due to a lack of access to affordable care. Many of the folks that Rusty mentioned, when they come out of jail, the first place they come is actually to our department. We have a medication assistance program and then try to plug folks in. But you know, we look at wait times to get into primary care providers for people that have no jobs and are moving on. So it is an extremely big challenge to get people access to affordable health care, even here. And I'm going to segue then to the result of that, which is that people use the emergency rooms.
And so that leads us to the hospital perspective with John Cummins.
I'm Dr. John Cummins. I'm the chief resident for academics in University of Missouri Department of Psychiatry. I think that's all the words there. Kind of piggybacking off of what Steve said. So talking about the ER costs for folks who have no access to healthcare, or ER costs in general, are astronomical. I don't think that's news to anybody in the room or anybody listening on the radio. Especially when it comes to mental health, and that's, of course, my focus personally and focus of our talk today. You can kind of see high emergency room use is what we call a surrogate marker, basically a stand-in, a signal maybe, that healthcare resources aren't available for the people who need them. And especially when it comes to mental health care resources, emergency rooms tend to be the first and only provider of care. Thinking about the cost of an ER, if you go to an ER for a condition that could be treated in my office, for instance, rather than in the ER, it costs 3 to 5 times, depending on the study, but 3 times more expensive than an office visit or office treatment is still pretty impressive. Moreover, especially for folks with chronic or serious mental health and mental health conditions, what frequently happens is a wait for an assessment. Well, we have a psychiatric ER at the University of Missouri Hospital, which is wonderful. At the end of the day, that still does get full and get full quickly. Most places in the nation, though, there is no available psychiatrist. People are boarded in ERs for sometimes up to days, costing $2,000 or more on average. So the cost, not just to the individual, is astronomical. The cost to the system in general, who tends to have to eat the costs, of course, if people have no ability to pay, can be devastating. So that kind of brings us to when people do leave the ER, they have to go somewhere. So I'll give that to Phil.
And that will lead us to the housing. Phil Steinhaus.
Great. Thank you. What is affordable housing? Affordable housing is the housing authority provides affordable housing to people that are at or below 50% of the median family income. Median family income is about $44,907. So that's people under $22,000 a year household income. Back 2 years ago, we opened our Section 8 waiting list, our Housing Choice Voucher Program. For 1 week, we took 1,200 applications. There are still 600 families on that app waiting list now. I'm sharing with you about what the demand is for affordable housing. In our public housing properties, there's at least a 6 to 8 month wait. For our one-bedroom apartments, that's a three-year wait. We have 749 units of housing that we own and operate and around 1,200 housing choice vouchers. Our solution to create more affordable housing is not only to build more housing and to renovate the housing that we have now, but really to move people up and out. We cannot afford to warehouse people in poverty, so we need to provide family self-sufficiency services that move people up and out so we can move people off our waiting list. So what do we do with the people that are maybe not going to move up and out, the people that are struggling with mental health issues? They need supportive housing. And so we have, I know many of you are familiar with Paquin Tower. We have 200 units there for persons with disabilities and seniors, a number of folks there with mental health issues that live there, and that receive supportive services from the wide range of agencies we have in our community, Burrell Behavioral Health, New Horizons, Phoenix programs, just to name a few. So one of our problems is that we're not a hospital, and we're not a dumping ground for people with mental health issues. And we have all these people that are living on our property now that we've had a lot of resources connected to those families. They've been pulled off the street. They've been helped with their diagnosis. Many are dual diagnosed with either an undiagnosed or an untreated mental health issue, and then a co-occurring substance abuse issue, self-medicating, etc. So when we spend a lot of resources in our community to get them into housing, get them stable, get medication managed, etc., the last thing we want to do is move somebody in next to them that is still using. And we've seen this time and time again, and we have to be really careful about that. So we move one person in there, and then all of a sudden five people who had a ton of resources to get them stable are now circling the drain with them, because somebody who moves in that's still using, if they were just to use in their apartment, nobody would ever catch them. But nobody does that. They always want to find somebody to party with, somebody to use with. They start taking advantage of them because their money doesn't run till the end of the month. So we have to really struggle with that. What we do is we provide a lot of resident services and also coordinate with a lot of agencies here in town to try to keep those in our housing stable and help them live as independently as possible and prevent institutionalization.